Welcome to Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast. I'm Mike Miller. I'm your host. Today we are at Albuquerque Little Theater, and we're talking with Mario Cabrera, who is directing Pride and Prejudice. Welcome, Mario.
Thank you.
So before we get into Pride and Prejudice, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into theater?
Well, I got into theater way back when I was in high school at Jesuit Prep in Dallas. And I've been doing theater ever since. I worked at pretty much all of the theaters in the Dallas-Fort Worth area before my partner and I moved to New Mexico. We moved to Santa Fe in 1995. I worked at the Santa Fe Shakespeare Festival there for 10 seasons, as well as traveling around the country doing shows at other major regional theaters like the Jiva in New York and Sacramento Theater Company, Dallas Theater Center, many other places. And then around 2012, I decided that was enough of that, and we moved to Albuquerque. And I've just been working around the community theater circuit here in Albuquerque and a little bit in Santa Fe, but mainly in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. So you have been seen in a number of different spaces, I know.
I have worked at Ox Dog, Auxiliary Dog Theater, and I've just finished directing a production of Black Coffee, Agatha Christie's Black Coffee, at the Adobe. And I've done several shows here at Albuquerque Little Theater. My first show here was playing Van Helsing in the production of Dracula, which was, I think, like 4 years ago now.
Time passes pretty fast.
Yeah, I can't really remember.
And then the show we met.
Right, Anti-Mame.
Anti-Mame.
That we did here.
Interesting show overall.
Yes.
Was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. There were a lot of people in that show.
A whole lot of people in that show. But, so you're directing now here at Albuquerque Little Theater. Is this the first show you've directed here?
It is the first show I have directed. I hadn't been directing anything, been acting. And then recently I started thinking that I might want to start doing that again. I had directed some shows in Dallas and at other theaters. But I hadn't done anything around here, and at about the time that I was thinking I wanted to start directing again, the Adobe Theater contacted me and asked me if I wanted to direct Black Coffee, and I said, sure. Let me read it first to make sure, but it's Agatha Christie, how bad can it be? And then Henry, a few months ago, asked me if I would be interested in directing this, and I said yes as well.
That's terrific.
So hopefully that will continue for a little bit.
Okay, and so Pride and Prejudice plays what dates?
Pride and Prejudice opens August 24th. It runs through September 9th on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We do have a special Thursday evening performance, and I don't remember what Thursday that is. And there is one Saturday where we do a Saturday matinee as well.
Okay. Now, Pride and Prejudice. What is Pride and Prejudice?
Pride and Prejudice, this particular adaptation by Jane Kendall, and I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it was originally produced in 1940 in New York, the adaptation, and it is basically an adaptation of Jane Austen's novel Pride and Prejudice. It is considerably shorter, of course, than all of the other movies and the 190 episode version that you see on PBS or however long it is. And it is for all intents and purposes, all of the famous scenes from Pride and Prejudice that you would want to see all put into a 2-hour play. But it's a lovely adaptation, and most of the lines are all from Jane Austen's novels, so there's very little writing that she herself did. She basically just condensed the novel into a script form.
Okay, I'm going to plead ignorance.
Okay.
On behalf of myself and the rest of our audience, tell us about Pride and Prejudice. What's the main
story?
Yeah, the story.
The story involves the Bennets, who have five daughters, some of already marriageable age and a couple about to be of marriageable age. The show takes place during the Regency period in England, which was the early 1800s to about the 1830s, give or take. And they are not the richest members of society, but they are certainly not poor. And Mrs. Bennet's prime objective throughout the entire play and the novel is to marry off these five daughters to some reasonable gentleman who has some reasonable income. The main characters, the main daughter that the play usually revolves and the novel revolves around is Elizabeth Bennet, who is their second daughter, a very sort of modern woman, really, of presentation, and she is not like most of the women in the early 1800s. She's very independent, and Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy, who is a gentleman of very wealthy means and of a long, long, long heritage of wealth. Who is rather sort of standoffish most of the time, and of course, as fate would have it, they end up together at the end of all of this, and happily, most of her daughters get married by the time the play is over, and everybody goes home happy and with a little bit of money, to boot.
Well, that's a good way to end the story.
Yeah.
Good way to end the story. So, how would you categorize this as a comedy or is this a drama?
It has elements of everything in it, really. She has built it as a comedy, and it is, in fact, I think it's probably more humorous to us now than it might have been to Jane Austen's immediate folk back then, because a lot of the stuff that is going on in the novel we find just silly these days, because society is no longer like that. There is a lot of comedy into the interrelationships of everyone. And all of the daughters have a different type of personality, which adds to the sort of humor of what's going on. And the character of Mrs. Bennet is absolutely ridiculous in her obsession to marry off these daughters. And to us, again, that's just funny these days. And my tendency is always to play up the comedy in almost anything, whether it's a comedy or not. So I'm kind of leaning it towards that direction anyway.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's going to be fun. And it's interesting that Jane Austen is not somebody that I read. My sisters would have read that.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with her. I've been reading the novel a little bit off and on now since I'm directing the play, but... I've never read a Jane Austen novel
right.
up until now.
Right. My whole idea of Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice is based on book covers, if you will.
Right.
Or trailers from the PBS series.
Right. Which there are many.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's not normally my fare. So there's probably a lot of men, at least, in the audience that would fit that category. So how...
I would think so,
What do we have for them? What's going to bring them to see?
I think for guys, the character of Darcy is probably the main character that they would associate with in any... Because he is as out of his ken in all of this romance as most modern guys would be today. And possibly also Mr. Bennet, who takes all of this in stride and in humor... and he mentions how, you know, it is his humor that has helped him live with six females all of this time.
I can identify.
And raise five daughters. So there are, and I think that was probably true in Jane Austen's time as well. Because all of the romance, men were more familiar with the sort of etiquette of romance back then that they are now. But they weren't any more happy about it probably than most guys are today. So I think those characters still work for the gentleman today.
So, in the character of Darcy, how many people are in the show itself?
The script itself has 11 women.
Wow.
And five men.
Okay.
And the other men are gentlemen, young gentlemen, who end up eventually marrying some of these other daughters. During the course of the play, one of them is a soldier. The other one is just another very wealthy young man who happens to move into town.
Are we making any kind of a statement with this particular show?
Well, I think that it's interesting, especially if you read parts of the actual novel. I think Miss Austen was writing about herself through this character of Lizzie Bennet. I think probably Jane Austen, although I never met her, of course, was probably quite an independent woman and probably had some kind of real opinion about the role that women actually had at that time, which wasn't much. Mm-hmm. And the play very much emphasizes that you either got married or it was the nunnery. You really didn't have another choice. And in fact, there is another character who is a friend of Lizzie's in the play, who has a moment with her where she, and she's another very strong woman, but she has a moment with her where she says, "I am marrying so-and-so," and Lizzie at first doesn't believe it because she doesn't believe her friend would do that. And her friend goes on to explain, "Listen, this is it. I either go ahead and do this now. I'm 27. If I don't do it now, I have nothing to live for." And I think Jane Austen probably put that in the novel and in the script to kind of maybe open people's eyes to the fact that this was what women had back then. They didn't really have, and they were always, women couldn't inherit property. There's a bit of a deal made in the script by Mrs. Bennet that at Mr. Bennet's death, the estate goes to a second cousin of his, not to any of the daughters or to her. Because women, by law in England at that time, were not allowed to inherit anything. It had to be a man, the next male relative, no matter how far removed they were.
unlike the crown, it could...
Right.
They could inherit the crown.
Correct.
That's pretty serious property, though.
Yeah, and that was actually law. I don't remember when it finally changed, but it was well into the 20th century before that actually changed.
Well, I can remember hearing my great aunt, who was a bookbinder person in Cambridge in Boston, Massachusetts, describing to me why she was what was termed then, and probably isn't anymore, an old spinster.
Uh-huh.
Because she had not married. And in doing some ancestry work, I discovered that, in fact, she did marry, but it didn't work out, and she certainly never talked about it while she was while she was alive. But that's the kind of independent woman you're describing, one who can go out and make the world on their own.
Right.
So does this carry it farther, or do we just accept that that's the circumstance?
Well, I think it's one of those, I think it's a circumstance at the end of this play where we know that while Elizabeth is going to marry Darcy, and that's made very plain at the end of it, that they have both come to a realization that their thoughts on all of this has changed at this point. They will not be your normal Regency couple after the marriage. They will be quite a different issue, quite a different thing. But beyond that, no. Beyond that, I don't think there was a place for her to go with that, actually, at the time. Mm-hmm. There was no reasonable idea she could give because none existed of what a woman could do other than that. Other than just between, just in a personal sense, their attitude was different to each other rather than was it what society's was. But there was no realistic, oh, you can be this or you can be that. It didn't exist.
How much of that changes or evolves in the adaptation?
None of it. It's pretty consistent with the novel. Pretty consistent with the novel. And I think, you know, also in the time that this adaptation was written and originally done in 1940, there was still a little bit of that going on in the real world as we know it, certainly much more than there is today.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a lot easier to accept. A lot of the stuff in this play, as you are watching the rehearsals, as I'm watching the rehearsals, if you're reading the novel, really comes off in the same manner that one would perhaps see a Shakespeare play. today. Okay. You understand what's going on. You understand the dynamics. You understand the mores, everything. But they're different than you know. You understand the Prince of Hamlet. You understand Hamlet. You understand what's going on. You understand he wants to be king. His uncle. You understand that, but it's not really connected to anything you have ever experienced personally. And a lot of this stuff is so far away from us now.
Sure.
That it's mainly like that. You're watching, it's really a historical piece, ultimately. You're really watching that.
Well, who do you have bringing this thing to life for you?
Well, we have Nick Fleming is playing Mr. Darcy. Paige Underwood is doing Elizabeth. Fawn Hansen, who I have worked with a lot and has done a lot of stuff here at Yale, as has Nick, is doing Jane. Stacey Robbins, who has also done some mm-hmm. work here, is playing Mrs. Bennett. We have some new people, Tim Stafford, who just recently moved here from somewhere in California. I'm not sure what city he came from. And he came here also to do some film, but he came and auditioned. He's a wonderful young actor who's playing Mr. Bingley. Many other people, I could give you the whole list.
Don't feel bad. No other director I've talked to has been able to name their whole cast.
I probably could if I thought about it, but there's a couple. I have some new people that I've never worked with before, and mm-hmm. and usually when I'm directing a play, I call actors by their character names.
Yes, I understand that.
But yesterday we have our wonderful costume folks here are building 50 plus fabulous period costumes for the show.
Nice. So I should point out that the squeaking we hear in the background is the ghost at ALT.
The squeaking is our artistic director, Mr. Henry Avery, sneaking out of his office.
You know, they make substances to take care of that squeak. Oil.
You mean like little stuff that you... Yeah.
Spray silicone. That.
I don't think it's been a problem. Usually there's not anybody up here.
Well, not too many been recording. Murray, one more time. Your run goes from...
Pride and Prejudice opens August 24th and runs through September 9th.
Tickets online at the Albuquerque Little Theater.
We run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
They can
Sunday matinees. There is one Saturday matinee, and I wish I could remember which exact.
And we hope many, many do.
And there is an added Thursday evening.
Mario, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Join us again in weeks to come when we will talk with other interesting people in Albuquerque's theater world. And don't forget to drop by www.abqtheater.org to find out what the Albuquerque Theater Guild is up to and to see what else is playing in town. If you're enjoying our programs, please share with your friends. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time.